Tonight, the AV Club's Grand Master and pretty late pal John Tatey rides sidecar for the evening. Mark Carman breaks down the latest in Chicago sports, and we'll get another future reading from Lars Dingman. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Happy Tuesday, and I really do mean that. I wish you all happiness, because on my drive down here tonight, I caught myself getting really anxious and a little bit angry at things that either happened during the day or on my drive here, and I was like, "What? Why am I feeling so mad?" And I realized I have a lot of anxiety, and I wonder if there are a lot of people out there who maybe in the days after the attacks in Paris, or maybe over the last few weeks over a lot of the news that's happening either in Chicago or in your area, and maybe there's something going on personally in your life that is kind of bleeding over into the way you approach your everyday, your relationships. And I think it's important. If I could, this is going to sound so corny, and I hardly ever do this. I think I've done this once the entire time we've been on the air. I want to ask everybody, and I know only a few of you will do this, but just take in a deep breath and hold it for a second. Check and see where you're holding tension, you know, whether it's your neck or your, you know, your back or something, and let it out slowly. Let that tension out, because I think we're all collectively feeling some anxiety. And maybe you don't agree, but I think that with this onslaught of news, whether you're having arguments with people in your life or even on Facebook maybe, I think it really is having this sort of overall effect for all of us. So I want, because we don't address that. We don't check in with ourselves. We have so much to do. We're out there trying to get everything done, and we don't realize the sort of impact that these negative stories, these negative images, the fear that we have, the anger that we experience in these in the aftermath of something like Paris or the violence in Chicago or something that happens at work. It affects the way we deal with the people we love, even ourselves. No one deserves to hold on to that kind of resentment. We're getting mad at little things. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being corny, but I noticed it. I got mad at Craig. I got mad at the way a girl was dressed on Hubbard. I'm like, why? Why do I care how she's dressed? I was like, why? You know,
how was she dressed though?
She was wearing, it was a really cute dress, but shoes that were way too high to walk in. And
well, that's just ridiculous.
And she was getting into walking toward traffic and trying to get a cab. And
oh, people walking close to traffic with you though, that is a thing too.
I know. Yeah. I don't.
And you're only protecting people. You're really doing something for the good of everyone.
Well, you know what I you've seen me
you
drive.
Buzz them.
I did it, and that's the thing, Craig. I did it again tonight.
You did it tonight.
There were three people.
And she had shoes on?
Not her. I didn't buzz her.
Okay, good.
But I wanted to, see? And I caught myself and didn't swerve toward her to get her out of the line of, you know? And that's what I'm saying. Like, why do I care? Let her reality be hers and whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
But, again, there were three people crossing. The light had just turned green in my favor. And there were three pedestrians who decided at that moment to walk into traffic. Like, three of them. Like, just very cavalierly, without any regard for their own safety, and I did not slow down.
There you go.
Because I had the green.
Well,
then that's when I realized, I'm like, why? I mean, just slow down, and in the event that they're not going to stop,
right,
I got to let it go.
Well,
it's none of my business.
Outside of your PSA for all people walking outside with traffic,
yes,
I did take the breath that you just told us to take a second ago. I was like, I'm sitting right here. I should listen. And you might not even realize you have tension, like you're saying. You might not even realize that it's there, but once you pause for just a second, slow down, and breathe in, there it is.
And
then
you
just let it out.
Because you're when I tried doing it in my car, I felt like I was gasping, and I realized that I'm having it all in my belly. Rob, did you take a deep breath in? Do you feel like?
I did. I'm good.
Esmerald. But Rob, you do have four kids. You need to breathe on a regular basis.
Oh, I do, believe
you
me.
Need four big breaths for each child.
You know how it is when you have kids. The breath is either like this.
Yeah. See? This is what I'm saying.
Like, hold it in.
Yes.
I'm not going to let it out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
Get to work.
Counting. He's really good at this. We should have him tell us all to do this.
That's a great voice.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Can you tell us? Give us the instructions to take the deep breath.
Mm-hmm. When you're feeling tense, deep breath in, hold. And deep breath out. There you go.
And tell us everything will be all right.
Everything will be just fine.
Cool.
Until you get home with your four kids.
Oh, wait, there it is. It's just really relaxing.
It is super relaxing.
Yeah.
This reminds me of one of the massages I had last week. And by massages, I mean I had two, because the first one didn't take. I was so stressed. I was like, I better go back.
No, that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go back for a second.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
If you can. I have I'll have a membership, so I have like a bunch that are built up I keep paying for and then not using.
That's at the King Spa?
John Tatey, did you breathe a little bit? No. No, they don't have a membership there. That's Massage Envy, who we love, by the way. They do, on Veterans Day, they do, I don't know if they did it this year again, but they do a free veterans massage. I'm guessing they did it again this year. John Tatey.
I would hope so.
The editor-in-chief. We need a Hail to the Chief music for him.
I liked being called the Grandmaster in the intro. That was pretty nice.
That makes me think of People in Sheets. I'm sorry. Did I ruin
it
for everybody?
That's like Grand Wizard. Grandmaster is like chess.
Grandmaster? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But then I changed my mind. I love this hat you're wearing with the Patriots
This was a birthday
logo.
Present. Yeah.
I really love this.
There we go.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Chief, Editor-in-Chief, yes. Mm-hmm. That's it? Oh. It's a dramatic pause there.
I was just going to say, I forgot that Hail to the Chief had that big pause. Yeah.
Well, because it must be like to where he enters to the doorway.
That's when the president walks
and
in.
Then he, and then he walks on the rest of that march, right? Like there's pause, you admire, and then he walks.
I think they should play that more. Play it every time he comes into the press room or every time he does a big press conference in the, where does he do those? The Red Room? Is mm-hmm. that what it's called?
Or the Rose Garden?
I like the idea of playing it more for other people.
I think so too.
Non-presidents.
But they have to have chief in their title.
Or at least you have to be doing something where you're taking the lead.
Yes.
If you give the main speech somewhere. Mm-hmm.
We can describe them as being the person in chief in charge and they have chiefdom that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
These are words that I make up. I have a bone to pick with you.
And okay.
You know when people say that to me, it's usually very contentious.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's actually the opposite.
You have a friendly bone to pick?
It's not really a bone at all.
Oh, tell me.
I am so addicted to Fargo. It's ridiculous.
Oh, good.
I actually had someone look at Esmeralda. You got to watch Fargo. I'm going to guess that you would be as addicted as I am.
You're not watching
currently
Fargo yet, Esmeralda?
Esmeralda?
I'm not. What am I watching?
It's on FX.com. So if you have a cable carrier.
I have my ways.
Oh, good. Good, good. excellent. And I encourage you to do so.
Esmeralda, is there, 4 syllables is tough. Is there a name that people called you for short when you were growing up or that they call you now?
I have many.
Because
I
always want to say Ezzy, but
yeah,
I feel like that would
people,
be rude.
No, you can call me Ezzy.
I call her Ez. I call her Ez, and sometimes it's hard. Like, I feel that it's not authentic enough because she really, because she's
like,
a 4-syllable woman. Like, she commands respect.
She's authentic.
Wow.
She has an authentically long
and
name.
And she does, and she deserves
goodness
every syllable. Esmeralda.
Wow.
What does that say about the two of us?
I know. Patty.
Patty and John.
Patty. John. Yeah. Craig. You guys are 1 syllable. But there's a masculinity, to, I think, to like single-syllable names.
Sure.
John, Craig, Rob, Ert. But
well, let me. Have you heard this? I told someone recently what we're planning to name our son, who's going to be born next month.
This is dangerous territory to share the name that you want to bestow.
I don't think I know. For some people, it is. I didn't care. But it's a 2-syllable name. Mm-hmm. And this person said, oh, you know, it's considered more sonorous to have a name that's 1 syllable off from the last name. So like John.
Could you please look up sonorous for me, please? Thank you. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go ahead and continue.
Have you heard that before? That you're supposed to have.
As soon as I find out what sonorous means.
Is sounds nice.
Yes. And somewhat, and like there's a very, like not, I don't know, it has a.
It sounds so nice because it's not real, but yes, it sounds great.
Well, your real name sounds well, nice as well.
Okay,
with
good.
The Craig in front
okay,
as well.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a great last name that,
I didn't
that we
know
did.
That.
My
did
last
I just
name,
learn a secret?
Yeah, my last
you
name
did,
is also
a secret.
A secret.
Yeah.
Yes. My
yeah, John,
real last.
We're not real people.
No.
Yeah.
Not complete complete creations for the station.
I was a little upset that I didn't know that Craig had a different name,
mm-hmm.
but I am like now very irritated that I didn't know this about you, Patty. How long have we been doing this together?
I have 3 last names. I have Vasquez is a family name from
okay.
my mom's side. My legal last name, which I do not share, and I actually never use my husband's last name because it's Jones.
Right.
Sorry,
okay.
Steve.
Patty Jones. That does not feel right.
It's, you know how hard it was sometimes for us to check into hotels and he would say Steve Jones and they would give us this look like, uh-huh, hourly. That's happened. So yes, Craig, I think there's something about like John Tatey and Craig Collins has a very, I don't know, like boom, boom, like authoritative sort of a thing. You know? Yes.
Except my parents always called me Johnny growing up, so it was Johnny.
But your parents, they don't have to. They don't want you to be authoritative. They're your authorities. They're your, you know, your parental figures.
Sure.
So are you just John, J-O-H-N, or Jonathan?
Just J-O-H-N, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As it should be. Like, well, Nick, Nate, Jack, these are all great names.
Johnny Tatey almost sounds like just one word. That's just one.
Johnny Tatey?
Yeah,
it
that
does.
Runs too close together.
It sounds like a, yeah, it sounds like an adjective. Johnny Tatey.
Can I get some Johnny Tateys?
Or some kind of game.
Yes.
Let's play Johnny Tatey.
Also, there you go.
Or like a snack. That. I think Craig was going toward a snack. Johnny Tateys.
I'd rather be a
big
game.
Old bag of Johnny Tateys.
Rather be played.
Yes, you'd rather be played,
rather be played than eaten. Yeah.
This is a direction we never thought we'd go in, but I like that.
We're just talking names here on Pretty Late.
I love that. 312-981-7200. Would you rather be played or eaten? Call in. Let us know.
312-981-7200. Would you rather? Meaning, would you rather be sour?
This could go off the rails pretty quickly.
Yes.
You can go both ways, though, because the game could be then could inspire a snack.
Or it could be an eating contest.
Inspired by the game, Johnny Tatey.
Then we're confused. If Johnny Tatey is an eating contest, I don't know what happens.
I think this is spectacular. I love how these our minds are working together. It's not so much a brain meld as it is sort of like an explosion. Sort of a weird something, and that's fine. I love those moments. By the way, sonorous, did we find out what that meant, Craig? No, we have not. Okay. And please don't tell me, John. I think that it'll be fun to have Craig click in. So does that change your thoughts on the name that
no,
you were considering?
We're very
for?
Happy with the name.
I made the mistake once of a friend. Let's call her Carla because that's her name. And she called me and had a list of names that she was thinking of naming their son. Mm. And one of them was Simon. And I went on about, oh, don't call him Simon. Simon Says, Simple Simon.
Oh, I didn't even think Simple Simon. Yeah.
Oh, no, I hope it's not. But anyway, then she, it wasn't, it was, she had buried.
She went with Simon?
Not only that, but it was the name she had already chosen. She had just put it in a list of other names. And it was the one I locked into.
That's rotten. Come on. Well, it's like she laid a trap for you.
A little bit. And then I apologized years later, but she had already forgotten. But then she got mad again, having remembered.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I have to be careful. I don't know when not to put
you
my
You apologized phone. Years later.
And I was like, because I don't know how to leave well enough alone. I was like, I am so sorry about that.
I like the narcissism in that. You're like, she could never have forgotten this conversation she had with me 5 years ago.
Well, that I messed up so badly that I was worried that it had affected our friendship because I hadn't spoken to her in a long time. So I wasn't sure if that was by her choice.
So this was the first time you've spoken to her in a long time and you made her mad?
She's more a friend of like my husband's. She's my husband's friend's wife. Right. So it's all kind of peripheral anyway.
Okay.
But we have
okay.
been friendly. Although, I mean, I say so many things like to her. I have this sort of mouth problem when I talk to her. Like I can't filter. In general, I have that issue. Hmm. But I told her her husband, let's call him John because that's his name. not a very, you know, he's kind of a lean guy. That's what I'm saying now because years ago I said that he looked kind of frail. I could break him over my knee and she didn't like that. I may have said that at their wedding during their rehearsal. Do we find out what sonorous means? You can't find S-O-N-O-R-O-U-S.
Correct.
I believe that's the way. Because mm-hmm. I would be.
So you know the word then. You're just playing right now.
No, I'm not playing. I can spell is okay. all. I mean, like this is one of the things. Yes.
Capable of producing a deep and ringing sound.
Oh, deep.
Using imposing language. There are two definitions.
This is what I'm saying. Yes, imposing language.
Right.
Yes, I think that single syllable male names. But whereas for women, oh, okay, more after this on 720. WGA. You're listening Pretty Late. I hope you're feeling all a little bit lighter, a little bit less stressed, or maybe we make you more stressed. That's entirely possible. Just the sound of my voice might make someone stressed. It's entirely possible.
I think that's happened. Yeah.
I know. It does, absolutely.
I think it happened during the break.
I did get a little stressed. Sketchfest is coming in doing James Van Osdall's show, and they're very good friends of mine, and I guess they need an invitation is what they're waiting for. You're invited, Brian Posen, to my show.
You made the...
I called everybody.
You made the angriest, friendliest phone call I think I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Patty's talking to these guys from Sketchfest, and she's like, if you didn't know what was happening, you would think she was furious, except she's being very happy and friendly and welcoming the actual substance of the
friendly
message.
Rage is my specialty.
That's the truth.
It really it is. It's my super skill. I don't know how it's received, because the person I was talking to that did answer sounded a little bit worried. And I didn't mean for it to be the
case. I could tell, because you had to be like, no, I'm actually being nice right now. You had to reassure him.
Yes.
You're hooked on Fargo, we were talking about before the news.
So this is what happened. The wonderful hosts that let me stay in their home in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Mark DiCarlo and Danny Alvarez, they have, first of all, they have an entertainment room that is spectacular. It's recliners with like cup holders, all leather, you know, like a sectional.
Oh, nice.
It's so nice. And then they have this massive television, which actually can also be covered by a projector. A screen, so it's a whole wall.
They have both?
They have
a television and a projector screen that comes
in? Yeah, it's a massive television. I want to say it's like maybe a 50-inch television.
Why both?
Because he likes hockey and baseball. So he watches them on the projector screen, which I do not know how to lower. So I left that alone. And I was perfectly happy with the 50-incher. And yes. So they also have on demand. Well, they had their DVR, and sometimes I'll go through someone else's DVR to see what they watch. They were traveling.
I like that. It's like a socially appropriate medicine cabinet to gauge someone's personality.
I love that. That's absolutely. Also, yes, I do sometimes look at people.
Rightfully. Obviously, but you're not supposed to.
And I don't take any of them. So I went through, and here's, by the way, I wonder if Mark is okay. I think he would be all right with my saying what he watches. A lot of History Channel stuff. All the Blackhawks mm-hmm. and Cubs, all on his DVR.
Okay.
He also has Johnny Carson. He has anything with Tim Conway. Anything, so like that's kind
great.
Of.
Great.
Yes.
I love it.
He also, the Family Guy. He has,
this is a pretty eclectic mix.
Yes, it is. And then he had he had four Fargos in his rotation.
First season or second season?
This season, second season.
Okay.
So I assumed that was the whole season so far. So I started watching one and I was hooked. It was so good. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved everybody. And including the cast, Kirsten Dunst is amazing.
She's fantastic.
So good. And
playing a character unlike anything you have seen her play before.
No doubt. I mean, and it was so weird because I did not realize, and I'm sure you had told us, you had given us a synopsis, and I think my eyes glazed over because I was like, this sounds really heavy and dark.
Thanks,
and,
Patty.
And yeah. I know, but I was just like, it sounds too intense to watch every week. And I was watching, I'm like, my God, I mean, like, is that hairstyle coming back? I was like, oh my God, I can feather my hair again. And then I noticed the really frosted blue eyeshadow, and I was like, well, that's never a good look. And then I realized it's 1979.
That's right.
So what had happened was, I'm watching it, and the story is unfolding, and you know, the police is trying to piece together this shooting and mm-hmm. all the, you know, the crime and stuff. And I watched I binge watched four episodes, which I think, is that considered binging if you watch four, or is not enough?
Oh yeah, that's over the line.
Yeah, is it not over the line?
No, I mean it's over the binging line.
Binging line. Yeah. Yes, I think two in a row is safe. Once you commit to almost 3.5 hours of your life.
Yeah, I think three is like, you watched a bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
Four is a solid binge. Mm-hmm. You're into binge territory then.
And I really wanted more. And I had gone online and I saw the beginning of this one episode where there's a Native American standing in a field that looks like they're filming a movie.
That's the first one.
See, that's the thing. I didn't know that. I started on the second episode and was still hooked. I thought that was the pilot episode. I thought, wow, this is brilliant. Like, they're just showing us like flashes of what had happened. And it seemed to me like they were trying to solve this crime I didn't see the crime actually happen. And I was like, wow, this is such great storytelling.
Right.
Like, they're sort of just giving it to us in pieces. I honestly, never for a minute did I think I had joined the series too late.
I am a big advocate of jump in wherever you want.
Yeah.
I first started this with Parks and Recreation. I got in on the second season, and I still haven't seen the first season ever. I've watched almost every episode except anything from the first season, and it hasn't hurt me at all. And so I started to think, well, I can just jump in anywhere. TV is built so that you can just sort of jump in anywhere. I'm trying to think of another show I did this with recently. Something on Netflix, but Netflix makes it so easy. Like, you've got all the episodes in front of you, and if it's a show that's been around for a while, sometimes I don't want to start with season one, episode one, to gauge how I'm going to like it. You know,
right.
I want to see after they've gotten it going a little bit and mm-hmm. once they've hit their groove. So I'm really an advocate of jumping in the middle. Fargo is an interesting case because, and this is something I talked about this week on our videos that we have on the AV Club, mm-hmm. avclub.com, called Polite Fight, where we sort of, me and a video producer kind of politely argue about interpreting this week's episode of Fargo. And on this episode that's going to go up, this video that's going to go up this week, I talked about how I always notice whether at the beginning of a Fargo episode they have the previously on scenes. You know how at the beginning they'll say previously on Fargo, actually on Fargo they say erstwhile on Fargo because that's Fargo. And but they don't always have it. And the way I interpret that is if they don't have that at the beginning, I sort of read that as them saying that this episode can stand on its own.
And they don't have it for the second episode. Otherwise, I would have been like, oh, where's the first?
I think they've only done it once, maybe twice this whole year. And really, and especially this week's episode, I think stands on its own. You could jump right in. You wouldn't know everything. You might be
You've already
confused.
Seen this week's episode?
Yeah, it airs Monday nights.
Oh, yesterday. I don't have it in my DVR yet.
Got to get it in there. Catch up. I'm sure they'll re-air it this week
certainly.
Sometime.
And I can watch it online, too.
Yeah.
But it's better on a... Although now I'm, like, hooked on a 50-inch screen.
I'll tell you what. They send me the screeners, and they send these critic screeners, but the quality is not super, and they have big watermarks over there. It says copyright FX Networks, right?
Stuff, yeah.
So I've stopped watching the screeners because the show is too beautiful to be sullied that way.
I was watching... So I had James Vickery was over, by the way, Craig. This is how I found out I had not seen the pilot episode. I sat down with James and I was like, you know, you got to watch Fargo. I sat there and binge watched with James. We watched three episodes in a row, two of which I had already seen. Because now I was watching it with a different perspective of like, what? But one of the things I love is almost every opening shot, they often have a long shot of driving, whether it's the bus or, you know, the car rolling up to the compound, or it's a lot, and it's all in the winter. By the way, Ted Danson is the best he's ever been, I think, on this show. I love him.
What about that scene with him and Betsy Salverson at the kitchen island in last week's episode? Maybe you haven't seen this one
his
yet.
With
his daughter,
oh
yes.
My God.
And talking about how he is trying to contend with her sickness. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the best performance I have ever seen from Ted Danson. I didn't even know he had it in him. I was so moved by his heartbreak there.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that. But it's fine because the storyline of her being sick. And again, the other thing, Jean Smart, Brad Garrett, Bodie, what's his name? Bodie, the black guy in the show.
I don't remember.
He's so good too. I mean, like his, the
we should look, Craig, can you check on that?
Yes.
We should give him credit because he is, as Mike Milligan, he is fantastic.
And
he's sort of the poet warrior of this season.
Oh, man. What I did love, too, I felt like there was a nod to Bill Macy with the typewriter guy. I felt like that was very, it just reminded me so much of Bill Macy. Like, oh, geez, kind of getting in over his head.
Yeah, there's definitely, and this is another interesting conversation that happens on the site. A lot of our readers debate, like, first season characters, how they map on to second season characters. Like this is this season's Lester or whatever.
Got
I know you
it.
Haven't seen the first season, but that's just as entertaining,
Do
I'll
you
say.
Think? Okay, because this is so crazy good.
The first season is fantastic too. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about Fargo, and I think I've talked about this on this show before, is how elemental its storytelling is and how, you know, fundamentally it is informed by this contrast of sort of red, visceral, human savagery and the pure white politeness of this Minnesota nice construct, right? And I think that plays out in familiar ways in the characters. So yes, this typewriter salesman reminds you of William H. Macy from the original movie. Mm-hmm. And I think they just sort of recapture those themes and recombine them in different ways in the characters. Do we have the name of the actor?
Bokeem Woodbine. Yeah. He said it in my ear.
Oh, okay. Bokeem Woodbine.
I cheat a little bit sometimes. I have, and Craig, you know, you're always welcome to tell us. You know, you have to make me look smart. we all know the truth. The elemental parts that you were just mentioning, you know, and like I said, the overlay. I have a theory about the scene with Ann Cusack, who plays the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you don't want her to go away.
No, you don't. She just has that one scene.
It's transcending, I think. She was really amazing. But what she says in that scene about the Bible, and you know, she says if Satan couldn't get, was it Job?
Yes.
Right. I think there's a, now. Do you guys talked about this in your debates about who is Job in this season of of Fargo?
I talked about it in regard to that scene, but not in terms of the season. Tell me your theory.
I don't know his name, but it's the guy who has to clean up everything. He has to clean up the car.
Oh, Ed.
I think it's Ed.
Yeah, Ed Blomquist.
Yeah, because he seems to like, no matter what happens, he's kind of like, well, this is what we're doing, and this, I'm not veering from this. Okay, then fine. You know, it's just everything. You know,
I love that, Patty. I'm going to talk about that on the site next week.
Yeah.
I think that's a great insight.
He just kind of like, he goes, okay, this is, you know, he just takes it all in. His wife is super crazy and has done something just off the charts. And he's like, okay, all right, well, let's take care of this. Oh, we're going to do this now. You know, he just keeps plodding along and he's not going to be, I don't know if that changes.
Well,
you
can see I'm kind of smirking a little bit because his character, what happens to him and what happens within him.
The
next few episodes.
Oh,
I don't mean to imply there's some huge turn, but I just think that Ed's plight deepens. I guess I will say that much.
Do you have you mentioned that previously on, you've noticed only once, mm-hmm. maybe twice. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on coming up next? Because I kind of don't like it on this show.
I don't watch it. I don't watch it on most shows.
Okay, that's probably because I'm torn over that. Because sometimes you like a little taste of what's coming up. You know, like Griffin always wants to see what's coming up on S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever show it is, like maybe Flash. We watch a lot of superhero shows.
You know, it's kind of a moot point because the trend now is to have these coming up next week sequences where the clips are chopped so fine that you can't really derive any meaning from them.
Mad Men was brilliant.
Mad Men was the one that started this trend.
Completely
really.
Nonsensical. Completely
useless.
Yes, which was fantastic. You just basically got to see what they're going to wear in upcoming episodes. Yeah. More after this on 720 WGN. I have to go home and watch this week's episode of Fargo on my laptop. Such a good show.
This is some season one Fargo.
Oh, is it really? I don't know the difference. It's good though.
It's so.
Is it
always?
Is it snowy? Is it never not snowy in Fargo?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's just part of the.
Yes.
Setting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be winter in Fargo.
Well, they have that joke in North Dakota about how if you're the great thing about living in a place that's so flat is if your dog runs away, you can see him for days. So that's the joke.
That's cute.
Yes. I have performed many times all over North Dakota, South Dakota. It was kind of where I got my legs. My comedy legs was all over the Midwest, Iowa. So I've been in many of those places.
That's tough because when I was doing stand up in the mid 2000s, way back when, mm-hmm. Most of my gigs were in New York, and then I went out like even just into New Jersey, mm-hmm. you know, not just over the river, but kind of a distance into New Jersey, and I really had to rearrange my set because the first night I was like, oh, this stuff that flies in New York does not fly out here.
Did you ever read about how Woody Allen just decided that he didn't have to?
Yeah.
I mean, and it makes sense.
And that's one way to solve that problem.
Yes, is to make it all, and which is why all of his movies, I mean, his perspective on the world, you know, why try to carve it into something else?
Probably the reason your material didn't work as well in New Jersey is because those people were so much smarter than the New York people.
I had to raise my game.
Yeah, that's
New
what
Jersey.
I would think.
Because the thing is, I mean, but I'm guessing if he did it in his home state of New Hampshire, that it would be even a higher level of.
I don't know how that's possible. The people in New Jersey, I think
that's true.
The upper echelon. Okay.
All right then. You are also a video game aficionado. Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself an aficionado?
I would, maybe not as much as I was when I was running a game site, but mm-hmm. I still love video games, and I have a recommendation for any game inclined listeners, and that's Fallout 4. Probably the biggest release of the year, and I've been playing it for the past couple weeks. It's the fourth main numbered entry in the series. Mm-hmm. That's how they, because there's spinoffs and it gets complicated. But this was a big one. It takes place in Boston, and it's a post-apocalyptic game, an action role-playing game, and you play the survivor of a nuclear apocalypse, and it's set in Boston, this one.
Okay.
The last one was in Washington, D.C., and then there was Fallout New Vegas, obviously set in Las Vegas, and this one's in Boston. It's this vast world.
What's the vault?
The vault is where every Fallout game starts, and the vaults were these bunkers, basically these mm-hmm. elaborate bunkers that were built before this war, and you are a survivor who waited it out in one of these vaults. In fact, in this one, you were cryogenically frozen in this vault, which is a new twist.
I don't know if I would like that.
No, well, no. You don't. You're duped into it, so you don't like it. But, you know, it's however many decades later when you get out. But I love this game because of its spatial storytelling. And you... What is that?
This is a game that you had recommended on your site that I have on my iPad. It is... wait, which one is it? It's Snap Attack.
Oh, I love Snap Attack.
I know.
A little different game from Fallout.
I just pulled out my iPad to show you that I do listen to your recommendations. That was when I had seen on your site.
And you're having fun with it?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a little challenging. I have never really read the instructions. I just keep playing and I'm like, I think I'm doing this right.
Okay, so I'll make it a twofer. On one end, these could not be more different games. On one end of the spectrum, you've got Fallout 4, an action game, a vast world to explore, and you really get to chart your own direction and build your own character. That's the fun of this one.
Explain it more in depth when I come back for just a moment.
Oh, okay.
I do this. 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. We often talk to Mark Carman on Tuesday nights, but he's a busy guy. And plus, he plays tennis at night.
Like he does?
Yes.
Where?
I don't know. But he goes someplace where you can play tennis very late in the evening. Like, I know he's played at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So
he might be playing tennis right now.
He might be playing tennis right now, which we encourage if he, you know, can't fit it into his
day. Do you really encourage him to play tennis during his spot on the Pretty Late with Patty
Vasquez? Hey, stay healthy. I encourage it. There are some guests that we are very flexible for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carmen's
including
a good
you
egg.
And Carm.
Yeah.
And Sketchfest. They're doing James Van Osdell's show.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Here we go again. You have a great piece that you do every week on the AV Club football, devoted to its Block and Tackle.
Block and Tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday morning on avclub.com, I talk about football. And, Patty, remind me what I talked about last week. Do you have it up here? It's a coin toss.
I don't have it.
Oh, the coin
I actually
toss.
Don't have it, but I remember having looked at it.
That's right. Last week, we talked all about the coin toss. I sort of gave the history of the coin toss. There have been a lot of snafus, and last week there was another one in which Cowboys fans insisted that who were they playing this last week? I think it was Philly. Mm-hmm. I believe it was the Eagles 2 weeks ago. It was who they thought that the Eagles captain called. Heads the Cowboys fans did, but
did he have his mouth guard in? Is that what was distracting? Like they couldn't hear.
No, he didn't. I mean, the problem is that just heads and tails sound kind of similar. You know, it's not.
There's no hard K sound.
It's not that right. It's not that easy to distinguish
consonants, yes.
Over the PA system of the stadium. So he called tails. The coin toss was tails. The Eagles won on a touchdown, and that was it. They won the game. Dallas never got the ball in overtime, and Dallas fans said the guy actually said heads. Dallas should have gotten the ball. And so in the column, I sort of went over this history of bungled coin tosses, or maybe not bungled.
How many
just
others
weird
have there
ones.
Been?
There's been a bunch of them. There was one at the Super Bowl, just the Super Bowl before last. They brought Joe Namath out to toss the coin. This nice ceremony, Joe Namath wearing this absolutely ludicrous fur coat for the coin toss ceremony. And Joe just grabs the coin and flips it before anybody's called it.
Oh.
And the ref, Terry McCauley, for that Super Bowl, did this great move where he, in an instant, just reached out and snapped the coin out of the air before it could hit the ground and said, we have to get the call first. But it was a heads up, no pun intended, heads up move by McCauley. Although right. I don't know that, like, if it had hit the ground, that really would have been. I think he just could have said that doesn't count.
Right.
But he did not want that coin to touch turf before somebody had called.
Right. And who knows how things would have changed had the original toss been allowed to go. But since no one called, neither heads nor tails.
That's right.
We shall never
it
know.
It didn't matter.
So strange.
But my point about the coin toss was that it doesn't even matter what the Eagles guy said. Like, all that matters, the coin toss is not designed to be fair. It's only designed to be random.
It's chance.
Complete
yes.
chance.
Yeah.
So whether he actually said heads or tails doesn't actually matter because the ref thought he said tails, and it's a 50-50 shot either way.
Yes.
So there was no advantage or disadvantage gained.
Is there any talk about perhaps having a different sort of procedure?
It's so silly, isn't it, that in 2015 we're tossing a coin, but I think it's kind of adorably quaint.
I mean, I guess that's why I love baseball. You know who's up first because they're the away team, right? Yeah, you let your guests go first. I kind of love that.
Yes.
Your guests after you.
Right.
Well, and then you get close at the game.
In football, the visiting team calls the toss. That's the graciousness extended to them.
Let's see what Carm thinks about the this coin toss. Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
Patty, I'm doing great. I greatly apologize for my tardiness, but we had a very, as you may hear, there is some commotion going on right now. Very extensive tennis match. Battle out here at the Crawford tonight that went overtime.
Are you for reals? Because I was saying that perhaps you were out playing tennis.
Well, I am. Very sweaty right now. And in a
I can tell.
And I can't find my keys, which would be a bad situation.
Are you in the locker room?
I'm in the corridor where all the star players play.
The star players play in the corridor?
Well, you know, when you come off, I just signed a bunch of autographs, and and now I'm coming out where the people are.
Do you want to tell us where you play, or do you want to keep that secret? I don't want people to come watch your, you know, prowess.
Oh, no, listen, I'm at the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. I'm either there or at the McFetrich Sports Center. I'll let you be the
guest. That's what it was. How late are they open at McFetrich?
Well, we were getting shoot out the court by personnel. There is a midnight closing time, but we had a very detailed match this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And
very detailed, did you say?
Well, you know, it was back and forth, a lot of deuces, and, you know.
Sounds like a real mess.
It really was. It was, but I just found my keys. Guys, if I could hug you through the phone, I would. It was... We lost the first set, but then we came back with a vengeance down in the second to pull it off, and then just a battle royale in the third to get it done.
Hold on one second. Can you leave there for one moment? Was that your sweatshirt or was that your bag? What are we zipping?
We're zipping the head tennis bag, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Red and black. It provides the extra mode of intimidation that I like when I walk on the court. You can wear it as a backpack and you walk out there. And you just snarl at people, and you say, I'm Mark Carmen, and I mean business. That's what I do.
Good to know. Now I love that we have like all the texture of where he's playing and how he struts out onto the court.
Oh, I can hear the sweat.
I can. You sound very drippy.
Well, now I have reached the outer. It's beautiful outside, guys.
It really. I have to agree with you. Please, everyone, if you have a chance, not tonight, perhaps. Do we know what the forecast is? Esmeralda, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Is it continue to be a balmy 60 degrees? Or is it dropping tomorrow? Poor Es, I put her on.
It's a high of 62 with thunderstorms tomorrow.
Yep. Exactly. Ooh, correct. But that's why tonight feels so good. It's like 59 degrees, but there's like that post, you know, thunderstorm, rain, moisture in the air.
Yep.
And by the way, to your point of everyone get out, on Saturday it will be snowing.
Just get out right now. So, go. I changed my mind. Get out of the house. Esmeralda, let's go outside. Can we broadcast from like outside on Michigan Avenue?
Oh, it gets real cold this weekend, man.
Maybe we go to McFetrich. Maybe we meet Carm at the corner of California and Irving and just hang out with him there.
Just on the corner.
And just do the rest
of
the
show. That'd be awesome. We could go over to Gordon Tech and maybe take a class or two.
It's not Gordon Tech anymore, by the way, my friend.
It isn't?
It isn't. It's DePaul Prep.
Oh, you know what? That's interesting because I was putting it in my GPS and it said, like Gordon Tech, and it said DePaul Prep. I'm like, okay. I didn't really think much of it, but clearly I should have thought much of it. Okay.
These are things that, this is kind of like the area code thing,
yeah.
John Tate.
Wow, Patty Vasquez, human GPS over here.
No, it's my high school is right down the street. Lane Tech is just striking distance from Gordon Tech.
Was there a rivalry?
One that I created mostly. They were the Gordon Tech Rams, and the bus was very crowded. A lot of us took the blue line to Addison, and we all would get off there. And I eventually got so tired of riding the bus with the Gordon Tech Rams. I would sit in the back of Greg, I just realized how I perfected the noise. So they were the Gordon Tech Rams. I would sit on the bus and go, all the goats are on the bus. Get out of the way for the goats.
That's why you're so good at that.
I didn't even know until this very moment.
We have to have you do that again then. We have to get you on a bus doing that noise.
Yeah. So there you go. That's that was I was just annoyed because they were cluttering my bus.
I picture now a bus full of you making that noise.
Yeah. Just 100 of you.
It's not a sheep, by the way. Those of you who think I'm doing a sheep, a sheep goes, bah, bah, and I was doing, nyeh. All right, anyway. Thus endeth
mine. You got all the boys, right?
Yeah, I didn't date in high school. I mean, I think that kind of speaks for itself. I did date a Gordon Tech goat, though, at one point.
Oh, that's kind of.
I know. Phil, weird, let's call him Phil, because that was his name. Moreau, because that was his last name. Also.
Oh, yeah. How long did you date him?
Just for a few months.
Was it like a Sharks and Jets type thing?
It was weird. It was, but again, the boys at my school wouldn't date me. Like, nobody asked me out. And then he tried going up my shirt, and I said, that's it. We're done. It's true. Carm's like, you can't blame a guy for trying, is what Carm's laugh says right now.
What do you expect from a goat?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll eat anything.
All horny. John, are you able to hang out? Or are you done for the
evening?
I'm
going to take off. I'm sorry.
We thank you for your time. Carm, can you hold on the line, or are you done for the night as well?
I can.
All right. We'll catch up some more with sports with Mark Carman. When he gets in his car, it'll be less windy. John Tatey, will we hopefully see you next week, or are things getting a little bit busy for you?
I hope so, for crazy Thanksgiving here on Pretty Late, right?
Well, if you can come Tuesday... You can come, and then we'll see you on second Thanksgiving. Yeah. Carm, are you in town for Thanksgiving?
I am.
Okay, so we have a second Thanksgiving that evening, you know, where all of our favorites, our regulars, all come in, bring their leftovers, and we hang out and eat and drink.
I can't wait.
I'll be there all night with doing Bears football and then waiting for
That's
you.
That's right. Patty. That's right.
Perfect.
I forgot. That's excellent. All right. Thank you so much, John Tatey. AVClub.com. Follow him on Twitter at John Tatey and also on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you next
Nobody
week.
Nobody knows how to spell that. That's J-O-H-N-T-E-T-I, in case you're wondering.
See how I'm just so used to it that I assume things and I should not, because you know what happens. I'm a total ass. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm Patty Vasquez, and live on the line with us from McFetridge Park is Mark Carman. It's McFetridge Park or McFetridge Center? I can't remember.
I think they call it the McFetridge Sports Center, Patty. I believe that is the proper terminology.
That sounds correct. And I think they converted the outdoor space that was previously like a little kind of a little training baseball diamond to an area for paraplegic sports. If I'm not
That's
mistaken.
That's interesting. To be honest, I've never noticed that. But, you know, the indoors got the hockey and the tennis, and then there's some outdoor tennis courts.
And the ice skating rink.
And, well, right, of course. I mean, the ice skating rink, which is, you know, for hockey, for ice skating.
Oh, yeah, that's implied by the hockey thing. Duh.
Right.
Sorry.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. But it's funny how you can, like...
I know.
It's like two different lands, really, because it really is.
Yes.
The lunatics that play hockey... at 10 at night and then go out and get have their beverages, and then the 10-year-olds that are there doing figure skating during the day.
Yes, or just, you know, skating around trying to stay upright.
That too.
Do you ice skate, Carm? Can you skate?
I have, sure. I mean, I wouldn't call myself very skilled at it, but I can, you know, it's fun. I enjoy it. I'm not very good. I can't go backwards. I mean, I'm that type of level.
I'm very good at roller skating, but never was able to skate backwards. You know, although people would like have that that sort of technique where you sort of make circles with your, you know, like figure eights. So not figure eights, but anyway, what I'm saying is I couldn't go backwards. I can't ice skate to save my life. It's just not a skill I ever developed.
I feel like you could get it done, Patty. It's just something you have to put your mind to. You are that talented. You can ice skate. I refuse to believe you can.
I briefly played tennis in college because I dated a boy, let's call him Tom, who really loved playing tennis. And it's a great sport, especially because you only, you know, it's a minimal, obviously you need the equipment. But what a great game, I think, for eye-hand coordination, for cardio, all that stuff.
Well, you can play it for life. And my partner tonight, Werner, I mean, he's getting towards the end of, you know, his run, and he's still playing. So,
what kind of a description is that? He's getting to the end.
I'm just playing. I told him to listen on the way home, and I would get him in there because I love him so much. He's such a stud out there.
That's great.
So, yes, but that's tennis is something that you can play for life. That's what the old family told me when I was young, and it's proving to be true. You see the 80-year-olds out there playing doubles, and I hope to be playing singles long into the night here, Patty. I'm never. never say die, right?
Maybe I should pick up tennis. Maybe that's what we need to do is pick up tennis. I like rock. I do need to do some indoor rock climbing now that the weather's about to turn. And I think that the Park District in Chicago has closed down or is going to close down soon their outdoor climbing areas. But tennis is it's hard because you have to have someone to play. Although swimming, I wish that swimming wasn't such a pain because that's another sport that's obviously great to do for the rest of your life.
When you say pain, how do you define that?
I just see you having to go through, you know, get ready to swim, to get the smell, the showering. I mean, it's a lot. I know. I mean, like I it's funny when I do CrossFit. I mean, I end up showering every single day when I do CrossFit in a row, because I get so disgustingly sweaty. I have to get in the shower right away. But with swimming, it is just a pain. Am I, Craig, right? I don't know. I mean, I've done it my entire life.
It also is somewhat challenging to find a pool.
Yes.
And then finding a pool that you like and not having a lot of people in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I co-voyage the smell and the dryness of the skin and
yep.
the pain.
See, it's a pain.
The pain of actually getting in the water is brutal.
Yep. All that. See? Then you're on my... No. I wish that yes.
But... When if you go in there and do a nice 20-minute nonstop swim and get out, I mean, that's a big-time accomplishment right there. You really feel like you're doing greatness for yourself and the world almost all at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, it's the best thing you can do for your body. Do you swim? You sound like you do.
Do I swim? Wintertime... No. Yes, I swim, Patty. I do. But it's once every, like, I'll be in there once every 3 weeks. Probably.
Wow. I think I swam once last year. I mean, like, lap swimming, like, full on. Did you swim in high school?
No. I'm the worst swimmer ever. But, in freshman year, when you had to try out for swimming, or not try out, but it was in gym class when they were ranking you. I jumped in off the diving board by plugging my nose. And then you were supposed to show him your crawl, and I went into the side stroke, and Mr. Wisniewski, who was a fine man, whose theory was the closer you live to the lake on the North Shore, the worse the athlete you were, you could do the religious discrimination on that comment. He started screaming at me, "Carmen!" And then I did the worst crawl you've ever seen. And then he just started yelling, "Beginner! Beginner! Beginner!"
That's so humiliating. Why?
It was humiliating. But then, I got to hang out on the on the kickboard the whole time. You know, that was about it. I can't do the breathing. I can do a nice side stroke. I can do an elementary back. I can even do a little breaststroke. But as far as, like, the crawl and the breathing and the water and the nose, can't do it. Not for me.
Wow. Yeah, no, so yeah, I mean, breaststroke is easier all around. That's a good motion for, for cardio, for muscle. Hey, Carm, we have talked a lot about ourselves, and I enjoy that. Do you mind if you hang on through the news, or do you need to go?
No, hey, Patty, I am here for you. You know this.
Well, I'm here for you, too, so it's all good. It works out very well. Oh, excellent. All right. Carm is on the line. Follow him at @TheCarm on Twitter. You can follow him on Facebook as well. More with him when we come back on 720 WGN. Ready to play today. Put me in cold. I'm ready to play. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And live with us on the phone is Mark Carman, who is just wrapping up some tennis at McFetridge Sports Center, Athletic Center. We're not really entire. Why is there already a throwdown between you and Bill Leff on Twitter? How did that happen so quickly?
Well, I've already played Bill Leff, Patty, and many times, actually. And Bill Leff has never beaten me. And Bill Leff will never beat me.
Interesting. And he still does, like, tournaments and stuff. Do you?
I don't play in many tournaments these days because, I work the weekends, but I have in the past. Bill plays a level down from me just to make it all.
Wow, some pretty tough words in the middle of the night when you know that Bill's asleep.
Well, I'd say it right to his face, and Bill would agree. Bill's a phenomenal ping pong player, and he crushes me, which I take great pride in my ping pong, but let it be known. So that's not, it may sound like I'm downplaying Bill, but it really isn't. The guy's a phenomenal ping pong player. He's a good tennis player, too. But.
I have also played ping pong against Bill Leff, and he crushed me so much that he actually felt sorry for me. And it takes a lot for a Bill Leff to try to back off a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah. He is phenomenal.
Extremely competitive.
So he's got like, he does that thing where you can like spin it. Oh, yeah. I agree that he would be, he's very competitive.
Oh, no, no. The first, I think, 8 times he beat me, it was as much as he could, which was pretty resounding before he finally slowed down a little bit. The man is good.
Wow. I feel like this is something that we need to have. We need. Has there been WGN footage of him on the website? How you know, we talked about this last year, and Carm, I don't know if we talked to you about this, but like a talent show, but it wouldn't be like where we come in and show stuff, but we have videos of our super like skills. You know, so like yours might be tennis, Bill's would be ping pong. I don't know what mine would be, but something, right? We should have video of us on the WGN website.
Well, isn't there like a WGN play coming up here?
Yes.
Like Bill Leff is going to be the star of it?
Is it the Miracle on Michigan Avenue? What are we calling it now?
I'm not exactly sure.
The Miracle on Madison.
Miracle on Madison. Why is it Madison Avenue?
Madison for the Blackhawks.
But we broadcast them from Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, but we
I'm just saying.
The Blackhawks.
Blackhawks?
I don't have an answer for your question.
The Blackhawks Miracle on...
You're raising good points, Patty.
Okay. Just asking. All right. Yes. That play is coming up on December 18th. It'll be a live broadcast of our Christmas special from WGN Radio. So did I read correctly? Did I see something where Derrick Rose hurt himself again?
Derrick Rose sprained his ankle last night, which is probably not overly serious, but when you're Derrick Rose and your body is very much fragile at this point... It could be something where he missed a couple of games. He's not expected to play it tomorrow night when the Bulls are in Phoenix. As Esmeralda mentioned, the circus is in town. The elephants are here. And the Blackhawks have the Oilers tomorrow night starting a 6-game swing. And the Bulls start out west with the Phoenix Suns. They'll play the NBA's best, the Golden State Warriors, on Friday night. The Warriors won again tonight, Patty. They're 12-0.
What?
That NBA record is 15. So that's, and the Golden State Warriors are an incredibly cool team. So it's actually a great story in the old league.
Interesting. I did not know that. That's a pretty remarkable record. Hopefully, if they continue, it's a great streak. Let's see if they can set the record or at least tie it, something.
Yeah, and they won the championship last year. So
yes,
pretty impressive. They actually. There'll be a story all season long as to whether they can win 70 games. Last team to do that, of course, your 1995-96 Bulls, the 172-10.
They are on fire. Well, they're clearly on fire. What do we have coming up? Now, I do enjoy tuning into you on Sundays, whether the Bears win or lose, but there is something enjoyable about a win, as there was this past Sunday, because there's obviously a lot less screaming on your show when that happens.
Most people like the screaming. They want more screaming, that they feel like the show's better after a loss. But this is true. There was less screaming. The Bears have been playing very well. And they've got the Denver Broncos on Sunday. No Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. He's got partially torn fascia. So a guy by the name of Brock Osweiler will be starting. He's 6'8" tall, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very large for a quarterback.
You can see over the line of both lines. You can see all he can see is end zone.
Yeah. But he's that's right. He's just going to stare right to the goal line. However, he hasn't found the end zone very much in his young career. So we'll see. The Broncos are a very defensive team, and Vegas has the spread in this game, basically a pick'em, which means that the Bears are really a 3-point underdog because, you know, they're at home. So you get points for being at home. So even though Manning's not playing, Vegas is not sold on the Bears winning.
Wow. Well, and you guys were talking about how they're still not, even though they got off to a really bumpy start, they're not necessarily out of the running for the wild card game.
No, they're not. They're absolutely not. They only have 5 losses. So,
right.
You know, really they can, I mean, I say only 5. They maybe have the luxury of losing one more game, which is not a lot of games. So... But they're not out of it. They're absolutely not. And hey, if they beat Denver, big if. But if they do, then you're at 500 and you play Green Bay on Thanksgiving night, which will be awesome.
The
Packers are sliding too. So there's
They don't have Aaron Rodgers playing this week either.
I did not see that Aaron Rodgers have been ruled out. I don't think that's true, Patty.
Okay. But I'm not making things up. I didn't mean to throw things out there and start rumors.
I may be, hey, I could have missed it. It's possible. I did not see that. I don't think that's the case.
All right, then. How about the Cubs? They had their third baseman, Chris Bryant, was the unanimous pick for NL Rookie of the Year.
Right, and Joe Maddon got the Manager of the Year today.
Appropriate.
Absolutely. And Jake Arrieta is probably going to get the Cy Young.
Really?
Yes. It's fascinating to me. Like, I get a text today from a Cub fan, Maddon, Manager of the Year. And, you know, that's great for Joe Maddon and all, but, like, really, if you're a Cub fan, do you really care about these awards? Like, I'll win the World Series, and great. And I think it's awesome, but it's not something that I would ever text anyone and be like, yes, Maddon, Manager of the Year. Now, I would bring it up on a radio show because it's news, but it wouldn't be something that I would celebrate. Does that make sense?
I don't know. It's hard to make sense when people are talking sports. Sometimes logic isn't always the go-to, right?
True. I suppose. But yes, congrats to Joe Maddon. And I believe the Cy Young is announced tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it's the next day. So it's very nice.
Yes.
Now go sign a pitcher.
Right. Expand that bench. You need to be able to go deep in the pitching.
What's not nice, too, is that ticket prices are going up. So that's not a surprise.
Is that going league-wide or just the Cubs?
No. I don't know. Some teams, I'm sure, are, but it's not. This is just the Cubs. They are significant raise in ticket prices because they know demand is back up, which I just think is. I'm sure they'll get it. And business is business is business. I understand, but yeah, they basically there was no lowering of the prices for the last 3 years when the team was absolute wreck.
Right.
And people were overpaying for seats.
I like that as sort of a unspoken rule that there's a sliding scale. If you suck, you got to drop the tickets $10, and if you're great, you can raise them another 10. You can go back and forth. I like that.
Sure, but it never works that way. And listen, I'm talking more like as far as season ticket holders are concerned. Like, your loyal customers, you would think that they would get some benefit for sticking with you through thick and thin. But the Cubs are, unlike most teams in baseball, where they offer their season ticket holders no discount. And I just don't think that's right, Patty.
I wonder what you seem to be open to any benefit. So, like, an extra bobblehead or something like that, would that be fine with you, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, the Bulls and the Blackhawks, the season tickets, if you're a season ticket holder, the face value of a seat is greater for somebody who's just buying at the box office for one game than for somebody who's paying for the entire season. And most baseball teams are like that, too. Like, if a seat in section whatever would be, if you're a season ticket holder, maybe you're paying $60. And if you're just buying a day of game seat, it might be, you know, 75 or something like that.
Right.
So you're getting value. Mm-hmm. Cubs do not do that.
Well, I wonder what Pink Hat Guy thinks about the, because he's been a season.
Pink Hat Guy was livid that when they built the seats behind home plate, Pink Hat Guy was going to get bumped from his front row seat. And Pink Hat Guy was having none of that.
No. He's got that whole first three rows behind home plate.
Yeah, Pink Hat Guy has 7,000 seats. I think he's got like 20-some-odd seats.
That's a lot of seats. Well, Carm, get some rest. I know that you were up playing some tennis late. We can catch you on Saturday with the Wildcats coverage.
That's right, Patty. Big game on the road for the Wildcats at Wisconsin. 2:30 kick, 2 o'clock pregame with the great Dave Bennett.
Oh, and then so that kind of blows out the beat after that then.
The beat is blown out. There will be Preps Plus after the beat on Saturday.
Excellent. And then Sunday, are you on, or is it because they're playing on Thanksgiving, you're not on this Sunday?
Sunday, we are on. Bears and the Broncos will be on at 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be on Thanksgiving night, pregame and postgame. And then the following Sunday, we'll be off because they will not be playing again on Saturday.
That would be crazy to have 3 games in 7 days. It seems a bit
that
much.
Would be.
Yes. That's interesting. They had a bye week last week, and then they have 2 games in 5 days coming up. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Then.
Pressure's on, Patty.
Pressure's on. They can, they'll be fine. You know what? They'll either win or they'll lose. Either way, we'll be around.
Yes.
Do I sound very enthusiastic about the Bears? I can't get excited.
You've done a nice job.
Yes.
All right, go. I will.
Yeah, you go. No, you go. You hang up. No, you hang up. Bye, Carm. You hang up.
Good night, Patty.
Good night, Carm. Be well. We'll talk to you later. Follow him on Twitter at the Carm on Facebook and catch him on Saturday starting at 2:30 with coverage for the Wildcats on 720 WGN. Hello. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It's a little rainy again. The rain kind of comes and goes. Esmeralda Leon up in news, traffic, weather, sports. I feel like we should have also a cooking segment for you during the maybe something else.
Make an omelet.
Yeah, make an omelet while you're up there. How are you doing, Esmeralda?
I'm good.
Did you know that earlier was before midnight during the day was Facebook Unfriend Day?
National Facebook Unfriend Day.
National Facebook Unfriend.
Is that why I had the itch to try to go through my list?
I think that there was also a lot that happened in the last weekend, like the last week, the last few weeks. It seemed like a lot of people on Facebook were volunteering to be unfriended. That seemed to be going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been lucky and I haven't really gotten to deal. I haven't had to deal with that. So I guess that says a lot about people I know
people
on
you
Facebook.
Like, yeah.
Have you guys unfollowed anyone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
If you do it, Facebook now prompts you to just unfollow more people.
Ooh.
Have you guys noticed that? It pops
what?
Up.
Other people that you might want to unfollow.
Yeah, it goes, these are other people you may want to unfollow, and then you can just click a whole bunch at once.
If you don't like that person, surely you don't like these
if
people.
If you don't want them to know, you don't want to hear from them ever again. Just
wow.
Unfollow. Unfollow is a great tool.
It's,
right?
Yes. I'll unfollow.
You offend nobody and you don't hear from the people anymore.
And look, I completely respect people that want to unfollow, unfriend, stop listening. I can't make everybody happy. I would literally go, you all would. Everyone would lose their minds spending every waking moment figuring out how to make everyone happy, how to agree with everybody. You can express yourself and, you know, you can have a conversation. If you don't like the way someone is, you know, with their point of view is, have a conversation about it instead of attacking them personally. Or, I mean, like, we can't agree on everything. It's impossible. And it's what makes every life fun and exciting is our disagreements. What makes it dangerous is when we get extreme about it and obviously want to hurt each other. But we should definitely have a conversation when we disagree. But things that are just like, you know, calling people names. Yeah, anybody that uses language that is, one, just ugly and hateful, gone. Unfollow, unfriend. You know, I just keep it. That's not necessary. Or go ahead and do that. But I then also have the right to stop following you.
If people had a conversation at a party that you were offended by,
yes.
Would you force yourself to keep standing like with them having the conversation? Or would you try to get out of it? That's the question. On social media, we can just subtract ourselves very easily
yes.
from some of these conversations. And I don't know why some people think that it's not okay to do that.
I was at a party at Griffin School with parents, by the way, and was very nearly just getting so – very nearly yelling. Okay, maybe I was yelling. And Griffin came up to me and he goes – he wanted to ask me something. I go, go tell Daddy it's time for Mommy to go. One of the dads from Griffin's class, when he found out that I'm a comedian, started telling me how much he enjoys heckling comics. And I very nearly lost my mind because he was saying that he really enjoys the verbal jujitsu and I was like, I don't do my material for you to, I mean, it would be like going to the theater and saying, I like just yelling random things so that the actors are distracted.
Yeah. It's rehearsing for weeks and weeks and weeks and then being like, we hope somebody yells stuff we're not expecting.
And then there was another dad I don't really know if I knew him. I don't remember ever seeing him before. A lot of new parents came into Griffin's class this year. And he said he came up after I was done because here's the problem with comedy. Not the problem. Here is the truth. My truth when it comes to comedy. And it's such a corny thing to say. Here's my truth. The highs are high in comedy. The joy of getting an audience to really laugh and it's like uncontrollable laughter where it's just rolling and the energy is amazing. Like I have mental pictures of the nights that I remember being so wonderful and amazing. And the lows are sometimes unbearable when you can taste an audience hatred where they just yell things. I remember one night I was working with Louis C.K. It was a three show night. He did the first two. I was headlining the third show. He was not performing. The audience, not everybody knew that Louis was not on the third show. But I still had to do my time to an audience that didn't want me and didn't like me and not just didn't like me, just outwardly hated me and was yelling things. And it was very hard. I did my material. I did my job. And I went back to the hotel and I couldn't move. It took so much out of me emotionally, spiritually. And I have friends who have died doing sin. Not you know, I don't mean that lightly. I mean friends of mine who became addicts, because it's very hard to live in the middle. When you walk off stage and like that, it's glorious and you are just on cloud nine. You chase that. You chase that high for so much of your career. And when it goes badly, it's hard to reconcile what you've done with your life. Like, did I do this? Am I in the middle of nowhere with people who just will yell how much they hate me? Is this why I do this? So I have friends who just never learned how to live in the middle.
Well, and there's such an unpredictability about it too, right? Like, you'll go into one show and like you said, maybe the audience was expecting something different, a different approach or
yes.
whatever it is. But every once in a while, you're going to get that crowd that you probably, no matter what you did,
yes.
you probably couldn't have won them
no,
all.
No, I could yeah. not. And that's, you know, that's, and I've learned to, you know, sort of pace myself and go, okay, this isn't going well. This isn't my night. I, you know, let's try. And I have an editor. In my mind, I constantly am trying, maybe they'll like this. Or maybe like, you know, it's like being a pitcher where you keep trying to throw a different pitch. And, you know, but they keep like just, you know, hammering you.
And, well, a pitcher's a great analogy, because even the best pitchers will go into one game and just get destroyed yeah. and they won't know what
yeah.
happened.
Yeah, it's demoralizing. Anyway,
So I
was having this argument with this other parent, and I was, and yes, I mean, like, I don't often, you know, I do debate, I do like getting into a conversation, but I found myself getting so emotionally upset that I think that does happen on Facebook, where people like start just taking everything personally, and that's very hard to distance yourself from.
Well, and I think that's what a heckler is to a comedian. He's someone who thinks so much of himself or her that they're going to go into a show that's not starring them, they're not a part of the act at all, and contribute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if everybody started yelling? I mean,
oh my God.
That's the presumptuousness that you are now somehow making the show better.
I'm actually shocked that there's human beings out there that aren't currently intoxicated and telling you that they like the idea. I thought heckling was almost always by drunk people.
No, I remember the first time I ever, like, I just assumed that it was part of the roll of the dice. That they're just random idiots who feel that they can just yell things at the comedian. And a guy came up to one of the headliner. We were in Erie, Pennsylvania at Juniors. And Fred Klett was headlining. And this guy had heckled him. And Fred is brilliant off the cuff. And he had killed. And he did a great show. But this guy came up to us after the show and shook his hand and said, "Hey, I helped out tonight, right? It was, you know, you and me were like a team." And Fred never let this guy off the hook. He said, "No. As a matter of fact, you ruined my show. The performance that I came in here prepared to do, what I was going to share with the audience, you destroyed that and you ruined everyone's evening and you'll never know that." So that's a, I love Fred Clyde. We should have Fred on the show sometime. More after this on 720 WGN.
Yes, Patty?
We were going to talk a little bit about vending machines.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about
dispensing cars.
Yeah, that sounds like a good topic, but
I think that we have another obligation at this point. If this music is playing, it must mean only one thing. And I'm kind of excited. I just got goosebumps because this can only mean that Dr. Lars Dingman is on the line and somehow, again, manipulating our music in the studio. We're not entirely sure how that's happening. But Dr. Dingman, how are you doing?
It's an app, Patty. I've installed an app, and I'm able to do that with several stations around the country. It's not magic. It's just technology. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well. Can you use that app to open people's garage doors, too, like up and down the alley? Can you just open their garages?
That would obviously be a crime. But what people don't know is that there are only 13 different frequencies in that wavelength for infrared garage doors. So if you... one of 13 chances of opening a garage door. Just walk down the street.
Oh, wow. Well, we don't encourage it, but just for experiment's sake, yes.
It's illegal, but it was a UHF frequency that was given over after the war, and do you recall the Danley Garage Company?
I do remember the Danley, yes.
Yeah, they were a large, in the Midwest, they were a very large company, and they bought a tank plant in Michigan. It was mm-hmm. in, outside of Flint.
Okay.
And they were the first people to develop the automatic garages.
Huh.
And they used the same wavelength that was used to communicate within the tanks, and they figured, how many are we going to sell? They had no idea it would be so popular.
No kidding. I'm always impressed by your extensive sort of accumulation of knowledge. It must be from traveling the world and paying attention. A lot of us don't do that. But I'm always fascinated. Is this part of what, you know, let's do this first before I get too into your history. You must be calling because you've sensed that one of our listeners is in need of your skills.
As a matter of fact, yes, Patty. As I often do, I feel there's a certain unease in the Midwest. There's an unease everywhere, but a special unease that perhaps my particular brand of vision and whimsy can make someone feel better.
Oh, I hope that you're feeling better. Maybe by helping somebody else out, perhaps that improves your health as well.
No, I'm fine. What I'm doing is I'm sanding a surfboard in my shop. I make surfboards, and I was sanding the fiberglass, and I had a bad mask.
Yeah, you've got to get a good mask, especially if you have a mask, and then you somehow get that trapped inside the mask. Now you're just inhaling.
And that's exactly correct.
Yes.
But you know, I love the sport of surfing. I love the hanging of the tent. It's in my blood.
Oh, that's because you're in water. Is it perhaps helpful? You know, since you are so sensitive to vibrations, does it help to be in the water to clear your head a little bit? Because it kind of dulls vibrations when you're out there in the water.
Actually, what it does is it magnifies them. That's how I'm able to communicate with whales.
Well, that's intense.
They use sonar, the low rumbling vibration, mm-hmm. to communicate with each other, and I'm able to hear that and understand. Could I converse with them? No, but I basically understand it's either mating or feeding or look out, there's
right.
something, danger. Three basic sounds that I can decipher.
Wow, that seems like an interesting way of communicating with nature and helpful to them. Now, we do want to encourage our listeners, 312-981-7200. The doctor is prepared to take a peek. He needs the last three songs from your shuffle, whether it's your smartphone, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever form of listening device you have for your music. And he is able to see what's going on, what perhaps is going to happen. And he's called us because somebody out there needs us. And not just in the Midwest, doctor, we are also heard in Canada. So maybe one of our friends north of the border is in need of your guidance tonight.
You know what? People in Canada, they don't suffer as much spilkis as Americans. They're much more sanguine people.
Now, by sanguine, do you mean that they're a little more laid back? Because, which I found problematic when I was performing up there, they're not as vocal when they're having a good time.
No. No, because usually they're anesthetized by so much alcohol, they're not able to vocalize.
There you go. Right.
But they're beautiful, peace-loving people. They're just,
Mm-hmm. They're just a little more chill. They say, maybe it's because it's so cold.
Obviously, back in the history, the reason is you were in your house, literally locked in your house 8 months a year because of the weather.
Sure.
Eventually, you run out of stuff to say.
Yeah, indeed.
Start staring.
Which they do in social settings as well.
To them, it's normal, Patty. To us, it's like there's something wrong with them.
Right, and we shouldn't judge.
And I'm speaking of all Canadians. I'm not generalizing. I mean each and every single one of them.
Individually. No, that makes sense. Well, again, 312-981-7200. I know a couple people have called and then they get hesitant. You know, when people are whether they're skeptical or nervous, how do you ease somebody through those sort of emotions?
Well, obviously not so well since people are hanging up. Patty, I'm able to read your vibrational cone, I like to call it.
Yes.
And I can tell you a little something about your future, your past, where you're headed. I would think anyone would want that kind of insight and information. But if you don't, then it means you're not ready for it.
Right.
So it's a self-selecting group.
Well, you know what's funny, too? One time I did try my, we've laughed that I've never given you my three songs, but in fact, I have once. And there's a listener who we chat sometimes on Twitter and we get some tweets from him. But he was a little judgy McJudgy pants about my choices, that they were all sort of like mainstream and pop. I think I had done like Vampire Weekend or something. So maybe people also are concerned about being judged about what music they like.
Well, of course you're going to be judged by the music that you like. That's one of the clearest paths to understanding grokking a person's soul is music. You tell me that a guy, all he listens to is Iron Maiden, that's a certain type of guy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
no. We can all picture what I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm. I can. I see him. Yep. He's got a lot of leather bracelets on with studs on them. Yes.
Yes. If he's a friend of the family, do you let him mow your lawn in the summer for a couple extra dollars? Sure. Do you let him use a tweezers and pull a piece of metal out of your head that got stuck in there during a gardening accident? Of course not. You wouldn't trust him.
No, I agree. You're quite right about that. Well, 312, by the way, we know we ordered a pizza last night and we gave a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's, but someday I have to send you one, Dr. Dingman. We'll have to send you a Lou Malnati's. I'm not sure you've had the... I'm sure you've... When you've stopped...
I've had the... That is the thin crust in Chicago?
Yes.
No,
deep dish. It's both, actually.
The big, yes.
Yes.
I've had the thicker crust. It's delicious. It's a different flavor than other places. I think I like it the best.
I don't blame you. We are big fans of Lou Malnati's. Well, I have a $25 gift card to our listener who's the most brave. I mean, I don't know why we have to encourage them to be brave, but I know that sometimes this is taking a leap of faith when it comes to...
Well, just go listen to the past times I've been on your program, Patty. Mm-hmm. Is it not true that everyone at the end of their reading is at least happy and usually elated?
I believe they are. I have to agree with you.
I stand on my record.
Well, we have a listener. We're going to take a break here, and hopefully we'll see what our listener would like to share with you as far as the songs in their shuffle. 312-981-7200. So please give us a call if you would like to have Dr. Dingman give you a little bit of insight into your future and a little bit about what's going on in your life right now. More after this on 720 WGN. As you know, we have Dr. Lars Dingman on the line, who is prepared to look into your future, perhaps your present. Dr. Dingman, I want to introduce you to two guests that I have in the studio with me before we get to our listeners. We have Brian Posen from Stage 773 and Other Brian. Do they call you that all the time, Other Brian?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do they call you Other Brian? I'm sorry about that.
No, that's right.
What's your last name?
Peterlin.
Hi, Brian Peterlin. Brian
Hello.
Posen. Dr. Dingman, it's Brian and Brian on the line with us.
The gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be virtually on the radio with you. I enjoy your work.
Nice to meet you, Doc.
Very nice meeting you.
We have two listeners who have called in to have their songs ready for you. And after the news, would you mind hanging out and perhaps I would like to know more about Brian and Brian through the lens of your skills, if that's all right.
That would be great.
That would be wonderful, Patty. You know, performers often paint a very vibrant rainbow of information.
That's what I was thinking. I'm sorry. I have, again, goosebumps. I have goosebumps on top of my goosebumps now. I'm very excited about this. On the air with us right now, on the line, is joining us. We have Keith from the 815. Hey, Keith, how are you doing?
Good.
And now, Dr. Dingman, what do you require of our listener, Keith?
Hello, Keith. What I would like is for you to tell me the last three songs your digital music player played for you randomly, or you can play the next three songs right now randomly and give me those song titles. And from that, I will tell you a bit about your future.
Okay. First one would be Hotel California.
Yes.
Second one would be Aqualung.
Of course.
And third one would be Point of No Return.
Okay, Keith, I'm seeing an electronic handheld device of, it's a vaporizer, yes? Are you, I'm seeing a twisted kind of amorphous patina upon reality as I gaze upon your future. These are all songs about mental disenfranchisement from the body. Is this, am I touching a sore note here? Keith?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, I think that silence pretty much proved what I was alluding to earlier. Are you high or in an altered state of consciousness whatsoever right now?
No.
At all?
No.
Okay. Well, I think what these songs are telling me and telling you is that is a, we say altered state of consciousness, but I suppose it matters on your point of reference. I think that altered state, that which I would call an altered state, is more a regular, creative state for you.
Okay.
And these songs are pulling you back. It's as if you're 9-to-5 jobbing it, and these songs drift into your cubicle, and they yank, pulling you back. Hotel California, that's an idyllic, drug-fueled weekend of sun and fun. Aqualung, there's so many interpretations of that song, it defies description. I just feel like you're a man living in two realities simultaneously. Does that strike a chord?
Yeah.
You're having a relationship issue, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah. And part of you is wants to make it work. Part of you wants to assemble like all the king's men with Humpty Dumpty. You want to put it together again. But another part is just like enough, and you want to walk away like in a movie, not even looking back. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you feel guilt because you know that things are perhaps irreparably damaged, but it's not, you're not to blame, if you know what I'm saying. You're not to blame completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think this is the guilt that's gnawing at you, and you need to vocalize and purge this guilt from your soul, and then perhaps you'll find some peace and know how to move forward. But it's going to take excuse me, it's the surfboard. It's going to take a loud, some sort of ritual purging. Are you prepared to do that on the radio with us?
Keith, I think yeah, there you go. Good man.
Yeah.
Do you want this person back in your life?
I don't know. That's the whole thing. Yes and no.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing when I look.
And very, very much one way or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I see. I'm shown pictures like movies, and I'm seeing, like, you know when you do the 3D glasses in the theater? And you put the glasses on, and it looks fantastic. It's very 3D. But if you take them off to see what it looks like, that's what I see when I look at you right now. Two, you're out of phase. Two color, you're living in two worlds. And the only way to fix that, are you familiar with the Beatles? They were a rock and roll band in the 60s.
Yes, I am.
Okay. They had a song called Come Together. I need you to scream that, sing it, as John Lennon himself did right now at the top of your lungs. Are you inside or outside right now where you are?
Outside.
Okay. Are you near people?
No.
Good. When you start singing the song, people will come to you like a magnet. And that's what I want. And the first person that approaches you, you stop singing the song and you say, it's okay. I'm fine now. Do you understand?
Okay.
All right, let me hear it.
Come together.
Right now.
Are you kidding me? That was horrible.
Do you want us to help you?
Come together right now over me. You see, it's like an incantation. You're willing your two selves to come back into harmony.
Right now.
Thank you.
Come on, Keith. You got this.
Observe the rest to make it more dramatic. Understand? Let's try it again, Keith. I'll lead you in. I'll lead you in. Boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm. Come together. Right now. Over me.
Oh, you rushed that last part.
Yeah, you got it, though, guys.
You
got
to stretch
it. Why would you come together over a crappy version of a song like that? That would drive you more apart. Listen. It makes no difference to me, you understand? I'm trying to help you, and in all, I'm telling you, what I'm seeing is you need a very abrupt vibrational shift, and this singing, a dog could fart this better than you're singing it. Are the two Bryans still in the studio?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we're here.
Yes.
We're here.
Guys, you understand what I'm saying? Am I not making myself clear?
Here, wait. You know what?
I'm
think
sensing a passion.
Hold on. I think that these guys could probably do this better. Can you guys
show him what I'm talking about.
Yeah, go ahead. Ready? You guys figure out how we do that. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know the beat.
Doom, 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 doom.
Come together right now over me.
This is what I'm saying, Keith. Did you hear that?
Look, people are flocking to us. Look, outside on Michigan Avenue.
Cars are coming toward us.
No. That was just a practice. Go away, guys.
Yes.
What I saw is when the song was sung, people would come towards it. Mm-hmm. And you, the brass ring was there for you to grab, Keith. You did not grab it. And now these two guys are grabbing your rings.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry, man. All right, Keith. Good
next time, Keith.
Thank you so much for doing that. You know what? Yes, please try again. More after this on 720 WGN. We're on the line with Dr. Dingman in the studio with Brian and Brian from Stage 773 Sketchfest. Schedule has come out for 2016, the world's largest and greatest Sketchfest. More with them and Dr. Dingman when we come back. 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined on the line by one of our most esteemed guests, Dr. Lars Dingman, who is, again, can you explain what your title is, what your skill set?
I can explain what just happened in the previous segment, Patty. The gentleman, Keith, called in, and he said his three songs that he had last randomly heard. One was Hotel California, the other was Aqualung, and the third one was just as horrific in its content. And what I saw when I heard those and listened to talking to him on the phone, visually I see like a movie, and I saw two out-of-sync movies. Like, when you look at the 3D movie, he was out of sync, he was living two lives, he was torn in two directions. Then we find out that he's, in fact, torn between his lover breaking up and moving forward. And I gave him a pass to figuring it out, and he pissed it away, quite frankly.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and the Bryans
happens.
In the studio, however, belted out a fantastic version of the song, so now I'm sure something good will come to them.
I agree, and let's see what comes to our listener, Joyce, who has been patiently waiting on the line. Hi, Joyce, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You too.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you.
Joyce, I'm sensing that you do not have a digital music player.
Yeah, I have one. I have a disc player, CD
okay,
player.
Okay, a CD, right. It doesn't... why don't you just tell me three songs that you just think of? Think of three songs.
Okay,
the
I like...
three songs that pop into your mind.
Okay, La Donna Mobile, You're Always on My Mind, and You Go to My Head.
Ah. What these songs tell me about you is that you are a very cerebral, very intelligent person. Would that be accurate?
I guess so.
you experience the world through an intellectual prism. Artists, let's say, will experience the world through paint or clay or, you know, the people that glue garbage to a canvas and call it art. That's what they're doing, too. You are more intellectual, and you think... you're in your head, and it's starting to bother you. Would that be accurate?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, you're wondering.
I analyze, and I do a lot of what if.
Right. You're a thoughtful person. You're a thinker, but you would like to be more of a feeler and a doer. Is that accurate? You feel constrained in your head. You want to get out of your head.
Sometimes.
This is ironic, Patty, because the gentleman before her was totally out of his head. And now the next person on the show completely locked in the head. So basically what we have to do, if you would like to improve, on a scale of 1 to 10, your happiness, what? I'm going to say a 7.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. A lot of things on my mind, though.
Sure.
Right, sure. 70, it's passing. You're passing life right now. What you do is, what you want to do is, you want to ace life. So what we can do to perhaps make you more fulfilled is help you break out of your head. So do you remember there was an old song in the 50s and 60s, and the chorus was, drinking wine, should we be drinking wine? Drinking Wine, Julie, you'll be drinking wine. Do you recall that musical piece?
Not really. No, I don't.
It was like a boogie-woogie keyboard, please. What I need for you to do is to... Are you standing or sitting right now?
Right now I'm standing.
Okay. Can you put your phone on speaker?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I want you... What you need to do is to get out of your head. You need to get into your body and into the sensate... of the senses, touch, feel, smell, taste, things like that. So I'm going to have you do a simple shuffle dance step and sing this song. And what it will do, it will literally change your vibrational cone. It will shake up the core of your being and spread out the energy a little more from your head. It's like breaking up, you know, when you're having a party. And you go to your ice maker to get ice cubes for the party, but it's all... stuck into one giant big ice cube. Have you had that problem?
Sometimes, yes, I do.
Right. You want them to be all articulated, separate ice cubes, but it's because it's been sitting there a long time, it's all stuck together. So what I'm asking you to do is to take that giant ice cube and throw it on the ground and break it back up into the ice cube pieces that it's supposed to be. And we do that by singing and dancing. So I want you to do like a little dance step like you're a choo-choo train. And then the song I sing,
okay.
Drinking wine, shooby booby, drinking wine, and just keep repeating that as you do the dance. You give me 16 bars of that, and I guarantee you will start to feel your body and your senses coming alive again. Are you okay. Game to try that?
Okay.
Here we go.
Singing. I have a very bad voice.
That's okay. It doesn't matter the quality. What matters is the passion and the intensity with which you perform the dance and sing the song. If you are truly committed to it, it will work regardless of how painful it is for the rest of us to listen to it.
Okay.
Okay, one, two, one, two, three, and...
Drinking wine. Here I am. 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock, drinking wine. Oh, yeah. Drinking wine. Okay, that's it. Goodbye.
Yes!
You feel different?
Yeah, great job, Joyce.
That was beautiful.
That was fantastic.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? Well, now I feel like I'm awake.
There you go. That's what I wanted. I wanted you to awaken to your senses. And you've done that. I applaud you for being brave and for doing that, unlike the schmuck who wouldn't even sing the Beatles song previously. You're a champion. Congratulations. Enjoy your new life.
And your $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's.
Oh!
Yes. I said.
Fantastic. That'll help you enjoy your new life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Joyce. That was lovely. You have a great voice, please.
Yes, it was wonderful.
It was. All right.
Quite frankly, I was preparing for much, much worse.
Well, that's when I sing, sir. But that's fine.
I've asked you to sing many times, Patty.
And look what we have in the studio. We have Brian Peterlin from Stage 773. And Brian Posen from Stage 773. I know. And they are going to be announcing the... I might sing at Sketchfest. I'm working on my show for Stupid Stuff for January 10th, which is part of the schedule for Sketchfest 2016. But I think it's their turn to lend themselves to your wonderful insight. You pick. Would you like to hear from Brian Peterlin? Peterlin first or Brian Posen? Do you have a sense of who needs it more?
No, I don't. I'm seeing one body with four eyes.
Oh,
because the names are similar, and by similar I mean identical.
I'm still going to go with the gentleman who's wearing glasses, Brian Peterlin.
Okay. Hello.
Yes. So, the last three songs in your shuffle.
Oh man, here, let me pull it up here.
Mm-hmm.
Da, 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 da.
His own drum roll for his playlist.
All right. Oh, wow. So I was born in the 80s, and I like 80s hair metal. So the last three songs that I listened to were Rhythm from a Red Car, Dr. Love, and Hanging On.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you don't run up a huge bill on iTunes every month purchasing new music.
No, absolutely not.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh so hard.
No, it's... Yeah.
I'm not... you're going. The vision I'm seeing is of a Viking.
Okay.
Now, typically, this is a past life. I'm assuming. And I'm seeing the soul, the essence, the vibrational cone of the person. But what I'm seeing is a large, somewhat gangly, compared to the other Vikings. And you're playing some sort of card table game, a gambling game with other Vikings.
Okay.
And you just keep shaking your head as if you can't believe what's happening. Do you have a gambling problem in this life?
I mean, I do play a lot of poker.
Wow.
Online or in person?
In person.
Okay, that's better. If you're playing exclusively online poker, that's where sociopaths come from. That's sure. where they're made.
Sure, I'll take
that's
that.
That's a factory.
Okay.
We don't have any online poker sponsors of the station, do we, Craig? Okay, excellent. Sociopaths,
you know what?
Online poker.
I'm predicting that they go out of business. That the two big ones, that something is going to happen to them soon, and that they are going to be put out of business by the government in some way. It's going to be ugly.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Record that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Recorded. Done. Noted.
Yeah, so I'm seeing the Viking and the gambling. Is it taking over your life, or you're managing it?
No, yeah, no. I only maybe once every 2 weeks, so okay. It's not like crazy or anything like that.
Maybe you need to gamble more.
Oh, maybe. I mean, if you say so, I'm cool with it.
Perhaps you are too precise and in control of your life. And as an artist, as a comedian, perhaps you would benefit from some reckless abandon and whimsy. Playing poker with people you don't even know for large stakes. Now, normally, I would not counsel this kind of irresponsible behavior, but I'm sensing that you're a Viking. You want it to be the soul of a Viking, but the also inside you is like Ray Bolger from The Wizard of Oz.
I'm sorry, I don't mean
okay.
It's difficult to reconcile those two personas. That I clearly chicks dig the Vikings. So
sure.
I think your gut is telling you to move more towards the Viking, the swashbuckling gambler, and the Ray Bolger is making you tarry with song and dance, metaphorically speaking. And that song and dance is distracting you from your artistic goal,
your
vision, your progress. So I think maybe start drinking excessively and gambling.
Wow.
I mean, I can do both those things. I don't have a problem with that.
We've encouraged vice chasing on the show.
I mean, within reason, obviously.
Right, sure.
Right, yeah, well, with moderation.
Yeah.
But also drinking and
well,
gambling.
No, past moderation.
Past, just
that's
past.
That's the whole point.
That's
has
true.
To be reckless.
A little bit reckless.
Okay.
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 But legal.
Sure. But legal, yeah. Get a designated driver, and then you can verbally berate them as crazy artists often do, and then apologize the next day. It gives you a cycle of abusive behavior to conquer, and in the conquering of that, then you will become the Viking.
Okay.
You must
first descend into the halls of Valhalla before you can rise, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
All based on your songs.
Great.
Wow, it's a lot of insight.
Well,
and Brian Posen, I believe. I know we were going to break, but I think we go along with Dr. Dingman so that we don't hold on to him too long. And then we'll break after Brian Posen has a chance to share his three songs, last three songs in his shuffle.
You want me to do
that? I do. Yeah.
Let's see what we got.
You don't cherry pick.
Yeah.
Give it
no, no. When September comes. What else we have? Breathe from the musical In the Heights and Rocket Man by Elton John.
Ooh, good one. Oh, I like that.
Well, I mean, that's past. No judgment, please.
No, there's no judgment. There's just insight. The Rocket Man and the one previous to that again, please?
It was Breathe from the musical In the Heights.
Breathe, yes. In the Heights is a What I'm seeing with that is a two-dimensional representation of something with three dimensions. It's almost like a shadow of a person. You know, when you see the body and the talking of a human, and then the shadow is thrown, they're in sync, but the two are very different. There's substance to the human, and you know, there's nothing to a shadow. It's the shadow. So what I'm seeing with the In the Heights song is that you feel that you're not casting a colorful enough shadow. And with the other song, it kind of underlies. I'm sensing there's some romantic.
I don't know how much I want to know.
There's some romantic turmoil. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. You're dead on, 100%.
I'm sensing that there was a recent, 4 to 5 days ago, you had a huge fight, a yelling fight with this person. You were fighting over an old master lock. You were at dinner at either Chipotle or... it could be
it was Chipotle. No, you're right. It was Chipotle.
Chipotle. And you start, you're arguing because you found an old master lock, padlock, with no, but the combination is not there. You wanted to contact the company and get the combination to use the padlock. Your partner was, throw it away, is what they just kept saying, throw it away. And I'm seeing that perhaps that's the crossroads that you too are at. Do you throw away being the relationship and the lock, or do you persevere and try and find the way to the heart of the matter?
Ooh.
Which I'm sensing you're romantic at heart, yes?
You're done on, again.
And what you would like is to have a romantic reconciliation, forget about the lock completely.
Amazing.
Perhaps what you can do is give her a lock of your hair.
Ooh, he's got,
that's a good one.
I like that. Yeah. He's got very curly hair. I could see
in
that.
In a clever, clever frame, that what you could eventually then you could put a picture over it, and you could put it somewhere so it's not just a joke frame. I don't go for joke frames, but functional joke frames, absolutely. A lock of your hair, you're that way. You are referencing the lock, yet you're breaking free and you're embracing her, saying what's gone is gone.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bush, do you think she'll accept that offering?
I sure hope so, Doctor.
Okay, if she's not, I would suggest the abusive, the drinking and the debauching as I...
As your Viking friend.
You can hang out with me.
There you go.
All right, I'll try one, and then if that doesn't work, I'll jump on his bandwagon.
Dr. Dingman, we really appreciate the insight you've shared with us tonight. How can people find out more about where they'll be and follow you in general?
You can follow me on Twitter at iTunes Psychic. That's psychic the way it's normally spelled. P-S-Y-C-H-I-C. I know it's a difficult word for some people to spell. Also, the website is itunespsychic.com. My schedule, clips, and all kinds of elements that you need are at that place.
Well, wonderful. And we look forward to you dropping into the show again, as you did this evening. And we wish you the very best and safe travels.
Thank you so much, Patty. Bryans, it was a pleasure speaking and seeing you. You have a fantastic week, everyone.
Excellent.
Thank you.
More after this with our friends from Stage 773. And I know they're coming up on James Van Osdal, but we'll hang out with them for a few minutes. And you know what? Maybe they'll even dance with me for what we meant to get to. More on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.